someone to share with you this morning. And, you know, we've been just kind of focusing on prayer and praying for the church in our leadership. And hold on. Sorry. Excuse me. There we go. Now I don't have this distortion humming my back. Christina, could you come up? Because what I want to do is I just want to invite you, of course, to come out on Wednesday night, because we're going right through the book of Romans. And it's not a, it's just kind of funny, because a few weeks ago I did this. You know, when you go over a book of the Bible, and you have a lot of options. I mean, you can do like the satellite version, which is what I did. Like, I did one whole book in a day. And I think I scared people, okay? But because I did so much information in one day. And I thought, I don't think I want to do that ever again. But then what I did, I mean, because you can do that, or you can take the, you know, the 32,000 foot. Maybe you take a book of the Bible, and then you do two or three messages, kind of gloss over the whole thing. Or you can do the Cessna version, or even, let's see, today we have, what are those things that hover around? Drone. You can do the drone, or you can just even do the two-lane highway version, or what we're probably going to do is probably the two-lane highway version. But you can even go more detail and do like one verse a week and just do the, you know, you're walking through the neighborhood version. But we're not doing that, okay, so don't get freaked out. But you can go deeper with God, and that's what we're hoping to encourage. You know, a lot of times we sit at home, and we try to think, well, how can we encourage our people to fall in love with Jesus more? How can we encourage them, you know, to spend more time in the Word? And but I want to just, I know that, you know, the Lord has been speaking to Christina in different ways. And so I want her to just share briefly about, you know, what she's doing, how God's speaking to her, and what book of the Bible she's in, and her devotions. Right? How many know it's good to spend time with God every day? Okay. Yeah, amen. All right, so let's, she's kind of shy, so just go ahead and give her a round of applause, okay? There we go.
Hi. So right now, I'm kind of going through the book of Mark. What I do is my husband works really early shifts. Right now, not so much. He's like an hour later than normal, but he was getting up at 3 to get ready for work and leave and be on the road so that he could be at work at 6 in L.A., I would get up and help him, and then I would be bored, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go back to sleep and be grumpy when I wake up because it's half an hour, or I'm going to be, like, in the Word. So I spend time with God in the morning when he leaves. We do, like, podcasts with Pastor Chuck Smith, and I just kind of follow along in my Bible and take notes. Right now, the most important thing that God has been speaking to me is just about the importance of prayer. So I'll share with you, like, the most recent thing I read in Mark. We were in chapter 6, and it was about the importance of prayer and how even Jesus felt the need to withdraw and pray, and how, like, he had just finished feeding 5,000 plus men and women and children, and he was, like, exhausted and overwhelmed and tired, and he went up to the mountain to pray, and he drew his strength from God in prayer. So I feel like, as a mom, I have 3 kids, not that many, but it's still demanding, and if I'm going to go feed 3 kids, I need to be strengthened and ready and prepared, so I try to just always do that in the mornings and let God speak to me. The other thing is, I've been dealing with a lot of spiritual warfare, and then this verse really spoke to me in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. The most important thing is that right after that, it says, then the devil left him. If you don't submit to God and you don't ask God to take him from you or to take that from you, then, oh, sorry. If you don't ask God to fight your battles for you, you're going to be stuck on your own. So that verse helps me with a lot of the spiritual warfare I've been experiencing, because I sometimes forget and I just try to handle it myself, and I just need to pray and withdraw and start my day off with that. So that was it.
Well, thank you. That was good. It's on number 8. You can just turn it down a little bit. That'd be fine. All right. Well, it's pretty amazing what God is doing in the world today. And I think that we all need to be a part of what he's doing, right? I mean, who wants to like get in the current of what God is doing in the world? I do. I don't want to just be a bystander. And so we're starting a new series today. It's called Hashtag World, okay? And it's an interesting idea. We're going to do this because we're going to talk about following Jesus in a hashtag world, right? Because that's really what it is. And some of you might, you know, not regularly use social media, and you might be saying what I was saying a couple of years ago. I remember asking even Jessica, hey, Jessica, what is hashtag anyway? How many know what a hashtag is? Okay, good. Well, a lot of you are smarter than I am, but don't laugh, okay? But if you're asking that, it's basically a hashtag. It looks just like a pound symbol. Somebody say it is this pound symbol that you use on your phone or your computer. But if, for example, if you're on Twitter, where you know you type your thoughts to the world in 140 characters or less. You can click on, you know, like a Saddleback Church or Disneyland or whatever hashtag, and then what you'll do is you'll see what everybody is saying, and there are going to be some quotes there, there's going to be some comments, there might be some announcements. If you go to Instagram, where everybody uploads pictures, you can click on like hashtag cool shoes, and you'll see everybody's kicks, probably Adrian and all their whole families, Michael Jordans. They have like, how many pairs of Michael Jordans do you have? Yeah, 20s, 30s, 50s, something like that, right? It's up there. But anyway, you can do that, and you'll see everybody's, you know, hey, look how cool my shoes are. And, of course, a hashtag is simply a tool for us to connect with other people who are, and see what they're saying in similar venues and on social media. And so what I want to do in this series is really just I want to talk to you about some of the, you know, how you say, the different struggles that interfere in our lives, and also maybe biblical values as a result of, you know, this clash between biblical values and social media. Now, I just want to say this. We're going to use maybe social media as a starting point. If you're not on social media, of course, it's going to apply to you also. But I just want to say up front, too, that, hey, I think social media is great for the most part. I would love to fully embrace it. And, you know, I have an Instagram account, and that's about all I do. I know Serena does Facebook. But I would love to do more. And I'm constantly learning. Maybe I'm just on a slow learning curve, whatever. But it's great. And you can connect with people all over the world, and it can really make a big difference in this big world. It makes this big world a lot smaller, if you will. And you can promote things that are important to you. You can push causes forward. And so there are a lot of really cool benefits to social media. Now, how many know that after I said that, I'm going to say something on the other side, right? At the same time, with all the great opportunities that technology provides for us, there are also maybe even some unintended downsides or unintended negative consequences of social media, okay? And the different forms of all these technologies. And so what I want to do is I want to raise a few of those issues, maybe contrast the struggles with some biblical values, and I believe that, you know, hopefully this is going to be something that will speak to your heart and encourage you with your walk with the Lord. And so let me just tell you, today we're going to talk about contentment. And this might be a difficult issue for some of us, but we're going to look at the problem when we compare ourselves to other people and how we can become dissatisfied or discontented in our own hearts. Now, I know that's never happened to you, right? But it does happen to me. And then we're also going to look at, not all today, but I mean in this series, we're going to talk about intimacy. I mean, when we post something, I don't know if you realize this, but when we post, we get immediate feedback. I mean, how many, well, if you do post, you know what it's like. You post, and then 30 seconds later, bing, your phone lights up. You're like, oh, okay, cool, somebody's reading or liking my post. And That's pretty cool. But we get immediate feedback, and therefore, we feel close to people, right? But as one person said, social media really gives us the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. See, we have this illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship. And so, you know, we can be very comfortable relating to people online, but many of us, we're still longing for something more face-to-face. And so we're going to talk about that upcoming. We're also going to talk about authenticity. Being real, right? Really, for the first time in history, check this out. We can filter everything that we show people. I mean, think about it. We can self-edit what we're going to say. How many people hate it when your friend posts something, a picture of you, and it's not a very good picture? Okay? Do you call them? And you let them know? Let's go. So we're going to talk about all these different things, okay? And of course, we're also going to talk about compassion. Now, check this out. Studies show that over the last 20 years, we actually care considerably less about other people now than we did 20 years ago. And these studies argue that technology overwhelms us with all the information in the world and that we feel like we don't even need to care anymore. And yet God calls us to be compassionate to other people. And so we're going to talk about, you know, how do we care for one another in a hashtag world. And then we're going to also talk about rest. Now you can relax, I'm not going to keep going on. But, you know, I'll tell you honestly, how many of us are tethered to our phones? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Now, I don't sleep with my phone like 80% of teenagers do today, okay? Like if I was to say, hey, how many of you sleep with your phone regardless of where Kenny is today? His ears would probably be ringing and his hand be, you know, he'd be walking around like this and he wouldn't even know why. But teenagers are tethered to their phone. Most of them sleep with their phone. That's pretty amazing. But I know that, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, if I get up to use the restroom, I check my phone. Just in case, you know, or I got to be able to hear it, or it has to be on in case one of my kids is calling, or somebody wants to leave me a message, hey, I won't be there tomorrow, or whatever it is, okay? And so it's pretty difficult to get free from this thing. But we're going to talk about rest, and what does it really mean to have rest? And so today, here we go. Let's just dive right in our first hashtag world. We're going to talk about discontentment, envy, and how we become content in Christ. So Jesus, thank you so much again, Lord. You're so worthy of our prayers and our praise and our worship and our love and adoration, Lord. And I just praise you. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak through me, Lord. Whatever words come out of my mouth, may they not be mine but yours, Jesus. And may you bless your people today. May you cause your face to shine upon them, Lord, and just open up and illuminate their hearts to you and your glory and what you want to do in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know what is really cool? I heard this guy, and this is the way it is for me too. Like, you know, you like guitar playing, obviously, and you go online and you follow different guitar players on Instagram. And how many know, after a while, you start to think, you know what, I just might as well give up because I'm so terrible. There's so many amazingly, you know, good players out there. And that's how a lot of people feel. But one of the other things, it's kind of interesting because this week, as I'm obviously going to talk about this subject, I posted for my awesome wife, right, for her birthday. By the way, it was her birthday. We should sing happy birthday. Yes. 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 Day to you. Happy birthday to you. I'm in trouble. Happy birthday, dear Serena. Happy birthday to you. And the new... Your new Mercedes SUV is right out front. Oh, no, that's what I want. Yeah, sorry. Okay. So anyway, when I posted, it was so amazing. I was like, whoa, this is so cool because I'm thinking about all this discontentment and what can I bring up and how is it going to be bad for people. And then I post about her, and I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. I'm getting all these posts. I got more posts than I ever, I mean, more likes, excuse me, than I ever have. And it was so amazing. I'm like, wow, keep going, honey. You're like almost a triple digits or whatever. For me, it's like usually 12, 15, you know. But right now, this week, it was like, cool, this is so cool. I'm going to try to do it again, you know, and it didn't work. But the reality is I got caught up in this, you know, just like a lot of people do. And some people believe that discontentment has never been a bigger problem in the history of the world than it is today. I mean, when you think about it, never before have so many people had so much, and yet, what? They want so much more. And some sociologists are actually saying that social media is one of the biggest, what? Driving causes of discontentment, because what happens is when you look at other people's lives on social media, I know they look perfect, right? Because they're putting their best image through their best filter, right? Forward. And it's like I've said before, most of us, when we do that, you know, we're comparing our behind the scenes reel with what? Someone else's highlight reel, right? And we know the worst of the worst of ourselves, but we only see the best of the best of everybody else. You know, it's like, again, like the two moms who were talking about how they hated each other on social media. Because one was a working mom, and she was like, I just hated you, right? Because I hated you because you were the perfect Pinterest stay-at-home mom who, you know, does crafts and structured time with their kids and made me feel so guilty. And then the stay-at-home mom would just basically say, well, I hated you because, you know what, you have a social life. And you're out there in public having fun or talking to people. And you're doing things. And I haven't talked to another adult in 10 years. You know, I haven't had my hair out of a bun or a ponytail in 10 years. And so here are the two people comparing and longing for what the other person has. Watch this. Elise, would you go out there and tell Faith to come in here? Tell her, Dad said, come inside. Ooh, now all of you are going to say, what a terrible dad. But they're over there talking, having fun. Hey, come in here. Yeah, you, come inside. Yeah, that's right. In church where you're supposed to be. No, I'm messing with you, yeah. This is going to go down as... Wow, I'm never going to live this one down. But this is fun. Anyway, so here's the thing. You know, you have these two moms that hated each other because one was the perfect Pinterest mom, stay-at-home mom, and the other one was what? Out there having a social. But they both were comparing. They both wanted what the other one had. Pretty amazing. So maybe you've been like this. Maybe you're at home all by yourself, and you see your friend out on a date eating, you know, lobster. And you're eating broccoli and cauliflower, and you don't even like them, right? Or you see your friend at the gym, and he's doing these selfie muscle pictures, and you know you are at home single-handedly trying to bring Hostess back out of bankruptcy, right? That's what you're doing, right? Eating Enemans and all that stuff. And you know what? I you're just sitting there, man. I feel bad for myself. You know, and never before in the history of the world could we so accurately measure popularity. You know, well, I mean, I have to admit, you know, in junior high, remember I was this big, you know, I was most popular. That's cool. Eighth grade. Wasn't that cool? But never before could we actually measure popularity more than we can today. You know, when I was a kid, we just kind of randomly guessed, well, I think I'm kind of popular, or I'm not really popular, you know. But today, you know, as I said before, we can measure. It's like, well, hey, I only have 287 followers, and she's got 492. I'm half as popular as she is. Or my picture only got 19 likes, and the one before only 12, and my record is 33. And every time she posts, she gets three digits of likes. And so we can measure our popularity, if you will. Right? We compare and summarize Everybody else's life is, you know, much better, and my life simply stinks, right? But the more we compare with others, the less satisfied we are. In fact, researchers did a study, two college universities, and they had students spend a half an hour on Facebook, and they surveyed their feelings a half an hour later. And then just looking at Facebook, what they found is one-third of them felt significantly depressed, citing envy as their number one emotion of what they felt just after 30 minutes. And some of us spend all day long on social media, you know? So it's pretty crazy. So this is a real issue. And so all I want to do today is just be very, very honest and expose any discontentment that we have in our hearts. And so I'm going to give you just three different categories of discontentment, and then I want you to be really honest with everyone and yourself and just say, yeah, these are the areas that I struggle with. And so we're going to broaden it beyond social media, obviously, but for those of us who use it and like it, you'll probably see yourself at least in one of these areas. So first of all, I want to talk about material and financial discontentment. Material and financial discontentment. So maybe, you know, you see him post a picture of his car and then makes you hate your car. Or you want to be happy for him, but you're jealous because you want that car. Or she posts, oh, this is the one I love. She posts, she's baking. She pulls out the cookies and she's you know, taking a picture. But how many know what she's really doing is taking a picture of her kitchen so she can show it off. Okay? And so that's what you're doing. You're looking past the cookies and you see the kitchen, the countertops, her little cabinet pull knobs and all that Joanna Gaines stuff. And you're thinking, man, I wish I had that kitchen. And you know she's trying to show it off anyway, right? Or, you know, it could be a friend who's at the beach again and sends another picture of their feet, right? It's like their feet in the ocean in the background. And you're like, man, I haven't even had a vacation. She's on her third one this summer, okay? And you get a little bit tweaked. Or you have another friend who's got so many shoes. Man, she's got more shoes than Zappos, right? And you're jealous. It makes you materially or financially, you know, discontent at some level. And if you're real honest, maybe you can say, yeah, Pastor, I struggle with that. Call it what it is. Don't lie. How many know it's bad to lie in the house of God? It could be dangerous. We just saw a little short on Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, they lied, and they ended up dead in church. So how many know it's dangerous to lie in church? You should read that story at the book of Acts, okay? But let's just talk about relational discontentment. And I see, I mean, because we all see our friends and they're together and you weren't invited and you're like, man, why am I not invited to these events? Or maybe, you know, you're not married and every person that you know is married and they seem to be happy and you wish you were and you had someone special, blah, blah, blah. You see someone else and maybe, you know, you're having a tough time having children and they just keep having children, their 14th reveal party, you know, and you're struggling with that. Or maybe, you know, you're like, man, these people are spending time with their kids and I'm working my tail off just to feel guilty because I'm trying to provide for them. And so you might also even see someone and they have relational intimacy with other people and you don't feel that you have that and you want that. And so, you know, they look like they've got a great marriage and you feel like your marriage maybe isn't great and you find yourself envious of someone else's relational status. Or maybe you see these two friends. One friend is so good, the other friend isn't. And so if you want to be honest today, maybe in your own heart, you don't have to do it now, but you could raise your hand and say, yes, Pastor, I have some of those feelings. And then thirdly, we have this circumstantial discontentment. You look at your life, comparing it to someone else's, remember, highlight reel, and you're thinking, you know, I wish I wish I was where they are. I thought by this point in my life that I'd be doing something way more significant than what I'm doing. Or I wish I could have a child, as we talked about before. I mean, quite honestly, for me, maybe this is the one that trips me up, circumstantial. And it's because, like most pastors, I work weekends, okay? Sort of, I mean, I've tried to shift things around, but most of my childhood life, I mean, my adult life as a father, raising children is what I meant, you know, I worked a lot of weekends, and I would carve out time for a game or for a shower or, what do they call those things where everyone goes to a dance, you know, Sadie's or whatever it was, you know, to show up, to get pictures, to do those kinds of things. But I work weekends, and my family was always doing things on the weekends, you know, spending time somewhere else. And so, you know, my friends, my family, they're all doing that. And I would, you know, have this attitude like, well, that's okay. Because you're show off, you know, you're at the football game, doing whatever you're going to do. That's fine. You know what? I'm going to serve God while you guys go out and serve the devil. Right? Have fun, guys. I'll just save the world and do something significant with my life while you guys are out doing your thing. Right? And so that's just been, you know, really honest. But, I mean, have fun doing all your stupid stuff, you know. And the truth is, I wish sometimes that I could be at the game, you know, with my shirt off, painted my favorite color or whatever for the team, cheering like some of you guys are at the river or whatever it is. But here's the thing. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. How many got this down? No. Right? I'm probably the biggest offender. But that's the truth. Someone said life is 10% of what happens to you and only 90% of how you respond. So the reality is for most of us, it's the flip side, right? Most of us, we live as if 90% of what happens to us is what life is really all about. And we don't even have much power in our own response. But the Apostle Paul, he's cool. He was the master of responding with Christ-like perspective. In fact, you know, we're going to look at, you know, to me, what's probably one of the best scriptures on contentment ever. And he wrote this. Now, you have to understand this. When we read this, Paul the Apostle wrote this not when he was sitting on a beach, you know, with a little drink and an umbrella in his drink, you know, just kicking back. He wrote this when he was in a Roman prison, chained to Roman guards 24 hours a day. All right, so we need to hear this. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul says, in other words, hey, if life is going the way I want it to, or if life is not going the way I want it to, whether I'm well-fed or I'm hungry, whether I'm in plenty or in want, whatever it is, he says, the secret is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so the secret of contentment is not found in what I have or what I don't have. The secret of contentment is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And I think sometimes in our lives, until Christ is all we have, then guess what? You'll never recognize that Christ is all that you need. You see? You want to find the power of contentment, then you let everything else be stripped away and you cling to your Savior. And it's hard because most of the time we go through trials, but really our life is pretty comfortable. But it's until you get through that one place, that one trial, that really, really, you know, pushes you into a place where if Christ is all I have, is he going to be enough? And of course, you'll find that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so you cling to the Son of God and you recognize that his presence is real and that he offers a peace that goes beyond human ability to comprehend, and that he is our rock, he is our sustainer, he is the redeemer, he is the one who gives us peace of mind, and he is our assurance, because he is everything that we need. And so you can search and you can search. You can get all the likes that you want. You can get all the approval from people you want. All the material things you want. And what? You'll still be wanting, if you will. You can love and know as many people as you want, and you will still be dissatisfied in life, because there's a God-shaped hole, as they say, in your heart for Jesus Christ. And so you were born for eternity. There is a longing for something more than this world has to offer in everyone's life. And until you let Christ be all that you need, you will always battle with the enemy of discontentment. And envy, of course, will rule your heart. And so I can tell you, as Paul says, the secret of being content. If I have a lot, if I have a little, I can be in a Roman prison or I can be in a palace and I can have peace with God. That's so amazing. We have peace with God. Not just peace with God, even though we have peace with God, right? But we have the peace of God. And so what I want to tell you again is, this is 2 points and we're going to go home. We need Christ, his strength. But here's the thing. We need to kill comparison. We need to kill the comparison. We will kill the comparison. Here's what Paul says. 2 Corinthians, he said this: we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are not wise. What is he saying? There's no win in comparison. I think Andy Stanley said that. There's no win in comparison. So we're going to kill comparisons because it's not wise. We're not going to do it. In fact, sometimes we're going to be tempted, but we're not going to do it, even though we're tempted to. I remember the first time I was in like third grade, 8 years old. Used to like this girl, Sonia. And I was cool. Until Jimmy came to our school. And he had freckles, just like I had freckles. And I remember one day we arm wrestled, and neither one of us could win. But Sonia liked him too. And he had a motorcycle, and he used to ride it around the neighborhood. And so he was way cooler. So I guess I lost. That was my first brush with comparison. Then other time, you know, I was kicked out of a rock band. And anyway, I guess I shouldn't bore you with some of these things, but we all do it. And now that you know my past and what I have to deal with. But here's the thing. We need to kill comparison. Why? James says this. This is in your outline. It says, James 3:14, if you harbor bitter envy. Now listen to me. Check this out. What he says. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. See, James is being a little sarcastic here because he goes, such wisdom, right? Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but what does it do? He says it is earthly and it is unspiritual and it's demonic. See? It's demonic. It's unspiritual. It's not from heaven. Guess where it's from? It's earthly. For, he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil, and every evil practice. Remember one of the top 10. It says, thou shalt not covet. It's not just unhealthy, it's a sin in the eyes of God. Therefore, we need to kill and to crush our comparisons, right? So when you think about it, how does this play out practically in your life? Well, some people, maybe you need to take a break from social media for a while. A 4-week break, 6-week break, 1 year, whatever it is. Or just a week every random, you know, whatever it is. But you may need to do that. You may need to do that. You might need to hide the feed from certain people. How many know how, you know, you see certain people's feed and you know that that person or their stuff is the trigger, right? It's a sin of envy in your life and it's triggered by their feed. Well, maybe you need to stop their feed so you can't see it, right? Or maybe, let's take it outside of social media, some of you need to cancel subscriptions. Some of you need to stop watching HGTV, okay? Because all you can do is sin whenever you're watching. Again, you're watching Joanna Gaines and her throw pillows and her shiplap and whatever else it is. I don't even know what they call that stuff. I always get nervous when I say shiplap because I'm always afraid I might accidentally say something else. But, you know, it's crazy because we're comparing and we need to kill the comparison because this is envy and envy is demonic according to the scripture. Every evil practice comes from within, this lust and this longing for something more. And not only are we going to kill comparison this way, but we also find, how many of you like to celebrate when someone else is blessed? Yeah, but let's be honest, how many of you get jealous when someone else is blessed? Okay, only a few honest people in the room. That's good. I mean, that's not good. I mean, I mean, you're honest. That's good, right? But when someone else is blessed, you know, maybe someone gets the job that you want, and you're like, you know what? I don't like it. But what maybe we should say is, God, you must have had a good reason to bless them. And Lord, I thank you that you're blessing their life. Someone else gets that thing that you wanted. Oh, God, thank you so much that you had, you know, your hand of blessing is on this person. God, continue to bless them. And how many know, though, it actually purifies your motives. You have the friend who's been on vacation, you know, again, that same one, you know, 4 times in the summer, and you haven't even gone 1 time. Or maybe you see them on the volcano in Iceland, whatever it is, and you're like, thank you, God, that you've blessed them, that they're having a good time. And I'm not. You know, I found that in my own heart. Maybe when I can't celebrate for others, I actually am thinking, you know, that I'm limiting what God wants to do in my own life. It's hard sometimes. And I'm just going to be real honest here. I remember going to pastor's retreats or pastor's events, and, you know, at the time I was a youth pastor on the, you know, biggest church in our district. Wow. And, you know, it was like, you know, growing our youth group and things were going good. And I would hear the pastors just complain and talk about their struggles. And I just thought they had, you know, a case of the wine flu or whatever. You know what I mean? I just thought, oh, they're just weak. They're not. And how many know God has taught me some stuff since then? All right. And I know that he blesses big and small churches and the things, the efforts. But that's sometimes how our flesh feels. Because we could look at the other churches that at the time were struggling and we're like, oh, I'm glad I'm not that guy. Right? Until you become that guy or whatever, you know. Or my heart should say, the Lord bless him. Right? Or when I know that my friend's church down the street is struggling and I'm praying, Lord, please bless them. And the Lord says in his own way, you know, I'm not saying that I heard the audible voice of God, but I'm just saying you hear something like, do you really want me to bless them more than I bless you? Oh, no, Lord. I bless them, but don't bless them as much as you bless me. Right? Why don't you just give them, you know, these opportunities? Oh, no, I'll just keep those for myself. Right? But maybe when we get to that place where, Lord, I need to recognize that in those times that my heart was very impure because I wasn't building God's kingdom. It was about building my own kingdom. And so I deeply repent, and then, Lord God, I really want to be in a place, you know, this is our hearts, where where I can ask you to bless others more than you're blessing us. And I can't prove this. You know, I'm not going to say this is emphatically in the Bible. I'm just saying I kind of act like it's true in my own life. But maybe maybe the reason that God is not blessing you or me with something that we want is because we're not celebrating God's blessing in someone else's life. And again, I want to be careful and I want to celebrate his blessing in someone else's life as much as I do in mine. And I never want it to be about me. But maybe if you're not getting what you want, it could be that your heart isn't right. And God is, because we're comparing, right? So God is working in our life, and he's not going to give us something that's not good for us. And then lastly, here's the thing. If you're taking notes, we need to cultivate gratitude in our lives. Envy is defined like this. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. I think that's pretty powerful, because envy is resenting God's goodness in someone else's life, and it's what? Ignoring his goodness in our own lives. And so it makes it impossible for us to cultivate gratitude. But Proverbs says this, "For the despondent, every day brings trouble." For the despondent, every day brings trouble. Some of you, you know who you are. Maybe you know people like this. Maybe you are this guy, right? Oh, it's a bad day. Oh, it's going to rain today. It's going to be another horrible day. I know the economy is still struggling today, and I'm so upset, and all my kids are brats, and oh, my car, it never really starts, and blah, blah, blah. Right? Don't point. For the despondent, Proverbs says, every single day brings trouble, but here's what he says, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. For the happy heart, you might have, you know, the happy heart guy might have the same day as a despondent person. The happy heart sees the blessings of God, right? The happy heart is always ready to see God's goodness. But if you want to see and just look for the bad in this world, how many know you can find it? But on the other side, if you want to see God working, you can find it. If you look for the blessings of God, you can see it. For the happy heart is a continual feast. I remember hearing this story. One guy, he was saying, yeah, my dad, you know, he said, son, life is good. And he said, you know, I used to think for years that's so annoying, because my dad just always says, life is good. And he thought that, you know, the reality was, though, what he found out is that his dad actually believed it. Now, here's the thing. Of course, did he believe it because he said it so many times, or did he say it because he believed it? Either way, it was true in his own heart. And he said, one day my dad was battling bronchitis for 2 weeks. And he said, Dad, how are you doing? And he was coughing, and he said, life is good. He said, it doesn't sound good, Dad. He said, no, life is good. And he was saying that, you know, my dad could only speak in baseball terminology. Like, he loved baseball. That's all he could do. And he said, son, you know, I had a stroke. I'm living in extra innings right now, but life is good. And I think that's what the attitude that we need to have, because the Bible says, for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. And I think it's mostly about perspective. Hey, I'm living in extra innings, right? Life is good. Solomon, who was the richest man of his time, and some people would say dollar for dollar, maybe the richest man of all time, he said this in Ecclesiastes, enjoy what other people have. No. He said, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. You want to have a continual party? Enjoy what God has given you. I mean, I probably have 3, 4, I don't know, maybe 5 if I look around. I might have 5 guitars, but how many know there's always one more that I want? Okay? Yes. How many know I have a square car? Don't ask me why I liked it when I bought it, okay? But I have this XB, and it looks like a box, right? It's square. But I can't complain. It's paid for, and it never stops running, right? It just looks funny. So if you see a block going down the street, it's me, okay? I remember one time when I was driving the Camry that I used to let my kids drive through high school. Well, by the time, you know, the first two, actually by the time Hootie and Taylor, well, anyway, it went through high school with three of them and ended up with a black fender? It was like a purple champagne car. And it had a black fender and a white door because I had to replace all those things every time they crashed it. You know what I mean? And someone goes, I saw you on such and such. And I go, oh, it was Tracy. Remember Tracy Cummings? I saw you over here. And I was like, how do you know it was me? Because nobody else has a white door and a black fender on that car. I was like, yeah, you're right. It was me. But anyway, we had to be content. I think that's where I was going with this. So, yeah, let me finish up. You want a continual party? Enjoy what God has given you. And, oh, you know, you can always say, well, I wish I had that guy's life, and I wish I had this, and I wish. But enjoy what you do have rather than longing for what you don't have. And so the next time you're tempted to say, hey, I hate my dumb car, instead say, hey, I thank God that I have a car because it runs, right? And maybe you don't realize this, but just by having a car, you're already in the top 5 wealthiest people on the planet, okay? Or, you know, I wish I had a better house. No, you need to thank God that you have a roof over your head. And Serena and I were talking yesterday. Man, think about it. The rest of the world lives, like, without running water in your own house. Can you imagine what that would be like? Yesterday, this lady was trying to take a bath, and someone was saying, well, just, you know, she had just a little pot. You have to fill it up. Well, what are you going to do with that? We'll fill it up. Well, yeah, but how many trips? Well, you just fill it up to enough. The important stuff gets washed. Okay? But how do you know we don't have to think about that? Okay? Because life is good. Right? And, you know, I'm so crazy. I'm so busy. Life is crazy. You know, sometimes when you ask people, how are you doing? You don't really know what the answer is going to be, and you're not prepared for it because you just really meant, like, how's it going? Like, hey, right? But anyway, not going to go there today. So I thank God that there are people who want to serve him. And we need to remember, let's be, you know, let's give gratitude. Let's praise God when he blesses other people with things we want. Let's give our hearts to him. Let's surrender our lives to him. Let's serve him. Let's not get discontented from looking at other people's highlight reels and then comparing them to our, you know, behind the scenes, okay? So, when my life is good, I thank God for his blessings. When my life's not so good, I thank God for his blessings, his goodness, because he's working all things out, right? We said that today already. He's working all things out. So therefore, we need to kill comparison because it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic, the Bible says, and we will celebrate the blessings of others and rejoice with those who rejoice. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and your love and your mercy again, as always. And Lord, we just pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would seal this message in our hearts, Lord, that we would be a church full of people who long to know you, to seek you intimately, to find you in their war room, if you will, their prayer closet, on their knees, with their swords, spending time with you, your son. Thank you, Jesus. That we would be changed and transformed, God, because we've been in your presence, that we wouldn't be the same. And Lord, as we take this time just to continue to reflect on your word, if you're here today, everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and maybe you can say, yeah, I see, Pastor, technology. It's kind of caused me to envy a little bit, and maybe I'm getting a little dissatisfied looking at other people's lives and focusing on myself at the same time. Or maybe even if you're not on social media and you say, hey, but I'm there with you. I see it. I'm comparing myself often. I feel very dissatisfied and I want to take this before you, God. And I just ask by His Holy Spirit that you would bring your settled soul to Him. That we would all enjoy what we do have. Many of the relationships that are blessings in our lives. The material things, but most importantly, the gift that we're with you. Lord, we want to have a happy heart. And so if you're there, you can just say with me, yes, God, come into my life. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've forgiven us all of our sin. You give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. You give life. You give love. You give light into the dark. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. We just want to worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. Father, you are great today. We thank you, Jesus, for the power that transforms our life into your image. I pray again that you would bless your people today. Forgive us, Lord, for being discontent with what you've placed in our lap, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to stop comparing ourselves to others. And may we truly celebrate when we see your blessings all around us, God. We thank you. Lord, bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. He's worthy of our praise. We can have the ushers come forward to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings today. And I just want to maybe publicly even say thank you for those of you who faithfully support what God is doing here. Of course, maybe you don't realize it, but even just recently, hopefully the grass looks green today. Because, you know, how many know there's about 200 sprinklers on this property, something like that. And it takes a while, but we were able to, of course, even with the simplest things like that, you know, make sure that all of them are back again, try to beautify the place. Next week, we're going to put some new flowers and color in the front and just to make God's house a little bit nicer. And we're going to do some other things around, some little remodeling here and there. But I just want to say thank you, you know, from the, not from the Lord, but from us, that, you know, that because there's a purpose for what we're doing. I mean, tomorrow night when we go out and support, we're representing, right? The way the place looks, we're representing. So when you give, it's not just empty, but God is working. And again, to Alabaster or, you know, our Nazarene, we pay, I guess you could say, I don't want to say, it's not a commission, but we pay a percentage of what comes in to the district. And even the Alabaster, we build schools. We, you know, we have compassion ministries all over the world. We build buildings so that ministry can be done. And you guys are all a part of that when you give. And so I just wanted to say that, okay? So, Father, use these resources. Again, may your people be hilarious and cheerful givers. And may they bless you today as they give, God. In Jesus' name, amen.